Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. What kind of takeoff? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Cold scratching, they messy, bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low in this show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flip it for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of cake, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight, you ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck niggas. You niggas know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out. What?
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
What's happening? Welcome back to Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black and my awesome sauce co-host Mo Benz. What it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, world? What's up, people? You know what I'm saying? Ready to get it in, man. Another Sunday fun day. Let's get this Real Talk popped off. You know what I'm saying? So roll something up, light something up, take it with your people.
This is our 201 show. 200
bottles of that
in first show. 200 shows, bro.
Yeah,
that's a lot of damn shows.
Yeah, I love our consistency, man. This is going down. This is, you know what I'm saying, this is a timestamp of our lives in this universe, you know what I'm saying? So this is forever, man. So I'm just with it, man. I'm with the rhythms of the universe, man, and I'm happy I can contribute. So anybody that's listening to this show 200 years from now, Mo Ben says what's up to you, you know what I'm saying? Live from December 2021, man. Carry on tradition, whatever you you doing out there. All right? Know that.
200 show. Like, we have 201 episodes that you can go back and listen to and, like, hear our growth. I tell people all the time, like, don't worry about perfecting something. Like, just do it and grow with the experience. Have consistency no matter what. And it's going to happen for you, okay? We have listeners all over the country. Sometimes we have high shows that are listened to a lot. Sometimes we have shows that are barely listened to, but at the end of the day, every show has been listened to. And that is the most important thing. Like, when you're doing something that feels right for the soul, you're not worried about finances, you're not worried about the fame, you're not worried about any of those things. You are just happy to do something that you want to do. And I'm happy that I get to do this with somebody that I have grown to be able to look at as my brother, that I have grown to be able to cherish. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
the
no
bond
problem.
And the chemistry has just been amazing,
yeah,
and it has grown over the years. So I'm just excited to be able to just have a whole family that, you know, I can adore, somebody that I can lean on and talk to, and I can really value his opinion and know that his opinion is coming from a great place. So I'm just like, wow. I seen that, and I was like, last week was our 200th episode, and we didn't even know, like, I didn't even pay attention to it, right? I'm just doing the show, you know, getting it out, because, granted, Mo makes me tweet the link to the show, and I have to tweet the link to the show because he does his thing on Twitter. Mo runs the Twitter account for this page, Real Adult Talk. Talk is TAWK. So Real Adult Talk on Twitter, and Mo runs that account. And I have no idea what the hell he be doing over there, y'all, but they be crunk. And so at one point when I changed my phones, I signed out, and I never signed back into that one. And I said, I got to sign back in, because at one point I used to get so many notifications. I think that was the universe. I was like, shh, I'm getting so many notifications. How do I mute these notifications?
So you figured it out.
Like, I have a page, but I really, you know, when I post on that page, it's to promote, or it's to, you know, it's to promote. You know what I'm saying? I don't really do much on my Twitter. Twitter used to be what was happening, but now it's just so many people that feel like their opinion matters the most, and so I really don't do a lot on Twitter. But I'm thankful, man. You know, I'm coming in, I'm getting the show posted. Then I have to post on Instagram. I have to post on two Instagram accounts, and then I have to post on Facebook and then get it over on Twitter. So I completely missed it last week. I sincerely apologize. But let's shout out our top five countries tuning in now. Shout out to everybody all over the world that's tuning in to the show. But we like to shine light on the top five countries that's tuning in. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in so you can get into the top five. Mo, what's the top five?
So, coming at number five, it's not even a country, it's a continent, man. Big shout-out to Australia. It's funny because whenever I run down this top five list, I got this big picture of the map of the world on my wall, and I just be looking at it. But, yeah, shout-out to Australia, number five. Number four, yo, what's up with y'all, man? I'm glad y'all on the list, but y'all just slipped up, man. United Kingdom, a.k.a. England, you know what I'm saying? But we still love y'all, even though you're in a number four position. And shout out to number three, man, Switzerland, you know, Viking country. They messing with us, man. They like what we do. So they've been steady climbing, man, over the last couple months. I see y'all. Number two, staying real consistent, is, you know, our brothers from up north, Canada. And, of course, number one, let me shout out the wonderful United States of America. Once again, I always say the wonderful America, the beautiful. Of course, it's got its about it, but when you really just, you know, sit back and just look at the essence of this country, man, all the fly cities. Just take advantage, man. Opportunities are here. You just got to, you know what I'm saying, you got to get through the bullshit and get to the bag. So, shout out.
Yes, supreme gratitude for all of your love and support tuning in to the show. So, again, I have been staying on track with getting one episode a month done with the Real Famous Chop Up. unless there's like a ton of things done or if the world famous chop up was cut short. You know what I'm saying? But this is something that Mo had already petitioned to get done. But I was like, you know, we didn't want to be like the other shows, so we had to find a way. And it's divine timing for everything that you do. So, you know, we get to do a full episode once a month with the world-famous chop-up, right, with everything that's going on. I have my topics. You know, I generally try to send Mo things that I want to cover just in case they're on his, because he's so organized that he has his whole list wrote down. And so I just try to make sure that I let him know, like, hey, these are things that I've seen in the news that I would want to go over. So tonight we're going to talk about all of this celebrity news and all of the gossip that's been making headlines that we have missed or that we've just paid attention to. And it's been a busy week. OMG.
Speaking of how was your week?
Well, my week... How am I going to describe this week? I mean, you know what? It's patience, man. I think that I'm being tested for patience on every aspect of my life, right? And so, you know, in one area, I definitely, well, in two areas, because you're doing these things like, you know, I'm self-employed, but I'm also employed, right? And so I've been on my job, you know, a year and a half. And so in the last 6 months or so, like, this job has been, like, fucking up my paycheck. Like, five times in the last 6 months, right? And so this time, like, they shorted my paycheck a whole week. And so... You know, I'm just like, you know, it was the breaking point. Even though it was a system issue, it's still a breaking point because look how many other times I've dealt with this. Now, granted, depending on where you are, and California has stricter rules when it comes to this, but even in Georgia, it is illegal for the employer to not pay you how they're supposed to pay you, right? And so it's kind of like, for me, I'm like, it's not worth the headache or the hassle to hire an attorney. I have previously through and successfully, you know, went to war with an employer behind some BS in one, right? But it was more so like, let's just settle out of court. We don't want this to get out. You know what I'm saying? Type situation. But it's like, I just don't have the bandwidth at this point. And I know if my hand is forced, I'm not going to play no games with them. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it's like it's the patience come in the area of here. The patience comes in when, because it's like I know what I'm trying to do, right? And I know that I will be fully self-employed very soon. That I will be just working doing my YouTube, you know, because granted I have a store that, you know, I've been doing, you know, pretty decent with. I have three streams of income. Well, the store is a stream too. So four streams of income stimulating from YouTube, right? And it's, you know, it's pretty steady, but I need it to grow so that I can, you know, successfully walk away from the job, right? So, you know, it brings in a couple thousand a month, but I want to be making more than what I'm making on my job and via YouTube on a consistent basis before I walk away, right? More. And so that's where I'm at with that. But it's just like, you know, my patience was tested this week. And then you got to think, like, I go hard for these people, you know? Like, I bust my ass. I'm always trying to figure something out. I was trying to better the situation. And it's like, you know, you playing with my money. So now it's kind of like, fuck y'all, you know? I'm not here to go over and beyond. You showing me that you don't really care about me, you know? And then when you short my paycheck a whole week, you like, well, I get that, and we'll get that taken care of. Let's just get to work. before I be anybody's slave, I'm already a slave, you know, making somebody else's dream come true. But before I be that kind of slave, you can kiss my ass. So, okay. So, you know, of course, you know, I just took off work, right? I was like, yeah, no. After I had my conversation with HR, I got off, and I was really over the situation altogether, but it's just patience, right? Because I have to have patience in order to obtain what I want. And, you know, even in the love category, you know, and you know more than anything, like, when you are in a situation, like, you know, I always like things to grow. And I'm always trying to switch stuff up. I'm always looking for change and so on and so forth. And, you know, even in my home front, it's like it's not growing. And so I found myself asking the question today, right? Because, you know, we have to use common sense, not look at what other people's idea or ideology of what a successful relationship should be. But, you know, I found myself asking myself today, like, is it that the situation is not growing, or is it just not growing on my time? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it just because it's not happening when I want it to happen? Is it a problem, right? But granted, growing up, I have plenty of family members that I've seen, you know, in relationships for years and years and years and never married, you know, never grown, you know, anything like that. I've seen people that have been down with people for many years and then they go off to be with somebody else, you know. You can't avoid heartbreak. You can't avoid the outcome. You can't avoid what's going to happen. But, you know, I think my mind is like, dude, we're not growing. What is next? You know, after 19 months, it's like, what is next? And him is like, have patience. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it's like, fuck you. But, you know, the situation is wrong. But I guess because I feel like it's not growing, I don't feel like it's right, you know? So I think that patience is what Spirit has been guiding me to, like patience with the situation, patience with, you know, employment. Like, you can't move beyond that. And for me to be a healer myself and me to, you know, have to, like, you know, tattoo that word in people's brain, you know, it's coming back around for me to understand that patience is important. So that was my week of learning a lot of patience, even when you feel like you're being wrong, right? Because it's like, you know, I don't celebrate holidays, but even if, that's my money, you know what I'm saying, that I work for, and yet I got to wait a whole nother week to get, you know, the rest of my money, you know, for, you know, what you owe me. So it's kind of weird, you know, like walking, just turning the other cheek, like, okay, that's what you're doing, that's how you plan, you know, after you done really went to bat for people. But I think my week is going to be called patience and just kind of going with the flow of things.
True. All right, well, you know what I'm saying, patience is a virtue. So my week, I'm calling this week alignment because, you know, everything's aligning, and it's aligning at divine timing. You know what I'm saying? I'm really into my winter solstice right now. You know, I started my staycation from interior decorating, so no interior decorating for a couple of weeks, strictly real estate options and puts. So I'm just working towards those goals, man. I got some goals that I'm just really chasing down for 2022, so I'm just setting everything up. So, you know, we got 2 weeks left, basically, of 2021. So this is always my time.
Not even.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. So, you know, this is my time of reflection, organization. You know, my wife, she's going back to Cleveland on Wednesday. So you know how we do. We get our little time apart so I can really just zone out, man. So I'm always thankful for that. You know what I'm saying? I love being married, but I love our little breaks as well. So that's just going to be dope, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just focusing and looking towards, you know, the equinox of 2022, because I'm all about seasons now. Like I said, I don't, I'll roll with holidays, but I don't necessarily celebrate them. I just roll with them. I celebrate seasons now. But speaking of, too, nice celebration. I got a chance to go to my Christmas party that we have at my real estate office, man. It was always – that was just a good time, man. So shout out to New York, man. New Yorkers know how to – New Yorkers, when the energy is right, man, New Yorkers know how to party. You know what I'm saying? So it was cool just, you know, being able to just kick back and just have a good time with my fellow agents and just getting kind of lit. So that was dope, you know what I'm saying? So that just, you know, set the tone for my whole staycation vibe that I got coming up, man. So I'm just feeling good, man. I'm just chilling, man. This is like one of my favorite times of the year. Like I said, I love the seasons because I'm a different person each season. I say that. So, yeah, I'm just in my winter mode right now. So, you know, longer nights, shorter days. I'm with that energy, too. So that's it. So that's my week.
I tell you all the time that, like, certain things, like, when we first started, because we've been at this, what, 3 years together?
Yes.
No, three and a half years together. But certain things that you used to say, I used to be like, dude, what the hell is wrong with you? And, like, now I really look at these things as inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Like, how y'all get these breaks and it's not a big deal. It's something to look forward to. I think I mold my situation around, like I've become more open-minded, you know what I'm saying, since dealing with you and looking at things. Like, I always knew that your relationship is what you make it, right? But being around someone, like, it's goals, you know what I'm saying? Like, I make it, it's comfortable because I do a lot on a weekly basis. Like, my schedule is hectic. His schedule is hectic. You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't do, you know, as much as I do. But, you know, he has to work. He has to, you know, assist with his mom. His mom is sick. And, you know, me, I'm doing 10 things in a day, every day. And so for us to find a calm balance, to be able to see each other and, you know, people kind of look at it and be like, well, you know, I mean, if it works, yeah, it works. You know what I'm saying? Because we get to see each other every week, but it's not like, you know, I'm crowding his space, he's not crowding my space. It's not weird. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
no,
having a conversation with him about being married and living in separate households, right? Because I feel like I can do it, right? But even if at some point, what if you guys get married and move in the same household? And then you realize it doesn't work. Is the next step really divorce? Is the next step really ending the situation because of a complication? Or is the step to that you love your person enough to figure out a resolve that works for everybody, for you and them, and to be comfortable? Not about what the outsiders think. You know what I'm saying? So if at any point it got difficult to live together and, you know, whatever the case may be, I would try the next step as, okay, well, let's live apart, you know, and let's do what we do.
That's
I don't know who made the rule that you have to live.
Shout out to Apple and think different. You know what I'm saying? I love that slogan. You know, your life. You know what I'm saying? I was saying the Apple slogan. When you said that, I thought of the app. You know, Apple, you know, the big, you know, company. But I thought of a slogan, think different. You know, that's a, you know, it's your life. You know what I'm saying? Think different. Like, you got to just mold your life to the way it works for you. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, like, who came up with that you have to be in the same, because I like my space. And I think that's why certain situations haven't worked in the past because I haven't had my right amount of space. It's like I'm an extreme. either I'm extremely cold or I'm extremely hot, but I don't even know what lukewarm is. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's either I really want to be around you or I really don't want to be around you, right? And so it's kind of like when I have, like, we have our time set out and we have our, you know, we have a gauge of it's going to either be this day or that day that we're going to see each other, that makes it convenient unless, you know, school is out and you have a little bit more time to play with. But it's just like, I love it. I love how your situation is set up. You guys take breaks on a regular from each other. You know what I'm saying? So that it's not chaotic, that it's not, you know, too much pressure. And I absolutely love that model that you guys have. And y'all, and tell people, how long have you been married?
Married wise, 2014, yes.
He has
August
been married.
8th. Yeah, 2014 what? In Las Vegas, man. Yep, that was the day.
So he has been married for 7 years.
Yep.
And he and his wife, like if you meet him, like he's very private, but like he and his wife are like just cool. You know what I'm saying? They act like homies versus, you know what I'm saying, like relationship. Like, Mo is really himself around his wife, and his wife just like, I know what I got. Like, she's just like, okay, I know what I got, you know? And so I love that. I love that energy, because that's when you have somebody that you love them enough that you're just like, hey, let's figure it out. I was doing my tarot readings for tomorrow. I'm starting to try to get ahead of them a day, so I don't have to. If I'm getting ahead of my readings by recording them a day early and setting them up to be released at a certain time, but what that's doing for me is making it to where I don't have to get up super early, like, because I would have to get up at like 5-something in the morning to get my son to school Monday through Friday. They're on break now, but Monday through Friday. So I'm trying a new system to go into 2022, and that's to get a jump on it, because I work my job Tuesday through Saturday. So Saturdays, by right, I don't have to get up super early in the morning. And Saturdays is not a guarantee. I really don't have to do content on Saturdays, right? I don't really have to do content on Saturdays or Sundays right now. But what I am doing is I'm sacrificing my Sundays, and I'm starting to record Sunday through Thursday now, and then therefore I don't have to record Friday or Saturday. So I just kind of switch it up, because my Monday readings are very long. They're weekly energies. So I'm doing my weekly energies on Sunday, which is the top of the week for Monday. And then Monday I'll do my reading for Tuesday, right? And as long as I get it done and have it preloaded, it doesn't matter what time I get up. So the only time that I have to get up at 9:15 to break my sleep from getting up early in the morning is Tuesday and Wednesday, right? So 2 days versus 4 days. So it's something that I'm trying, which kind of makes a lot more sense than to get up 4 days early, where I get up at 5-something and I lay back down at 7, and then I got to get back up at 9:45, and I don't really be wanting to get up, because I probably go to sleep about anywhere between 12 and 1:30 in the morning. So yeah, I'm just trying something new here for 2022.
Yeah, no, scheduling is key. You know what I'm saying? To have a nice schedule, have your time right. You know?
Yeah, getting them pre-lit. So I got all of the videos for tomorrow. If you guys don't know, check the I think I updated in the description box, but my YouTube is Spiritual Goddess, and that's GAWDDESS. I read for Aquarius, Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn. So, you know, that's where we at. You never know. I add zodiacs. I take them away. So, you know, we kind of, you just subscribe. I do giveaways. I've been doing giveaways all month just for appreciation for the support that, you know, people have shown, you know, to the channel. So let's dive into the Real Famous Chop Up, right? All right. So it's so much stuff that Smooth, the criminal. I kept checking the studio, and he wasn't in there. So I just looked again. Something said, look again, and he was in there.
Perfect timing. That's, we lit. Let's do it, man. World famous chop.
So we're going to get into the world famous chop up, man, because we got a lot going on. The number one thing that, of course, y'all know I really want to talk about is Kyrie Irving. All right.
Okay.
So, now, you know, we've had this. What? Oh, set it up. Sorry. My bad.
Well, All right. So, so, you know, without further ado, so this is my favorite part of the show. This is the world famous chop up. So this is the part of the show where I get a chance to talk my shit on things that I thought was interesting. But Black is on his journey with me tonight from the jump off. So here we go, man. And she started off with a sports story as the leading story for the world famous chop up. So let's get into it. Go ahead, Black.
That's right. Y'all know when the world famous chop up come on, I disappear. But, like, if you are familiar with the show, you know, Mo and I have had, you know, some great debates in reference to this topic, in reference to Kyrie Irving. Does he play for Brooklyn Nets?
Yep, Brooklyn Nets, right?
And so he was the only one that stood up and said, I'm not getting vaccinated. If you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. He stood by what he wanted, and, of course, the team said, hey, okay, you're not getting vaccinated. You can't come on temporarily, right? And so Kyrie said, if y'all really wanted me to play, if y'all really valued me enough, then y'all would let me come on temporarily. They said no, right? Boom.
Yep.
Fast forward. You have a lot of people everywhere that is not even adapting to this mandate, okay? You got a lot of people that are basically like, you know, fuck that, forget it. You know, we're not doing it. You got a lot of people that are suing the government. I know that a lot of places that are based here in Georgia, they are not forcing the mandate. If you are in the medical field here in Georgia, they are trying to push that mandate very seriously, which I don't know why when, you know, these people are in the front line before, but it's a lot of places that are not pushing the mandate here in Georgia, of course, neither in Texas, and it's very much, I think it's more unvaccinated people here in Georgia than there are in Texas. But Kyrie, he stood his ground. So now the Brooklyn Nets need them, citing injuries, you know, due to certain injuries that they need Kyrie. So they're bringing him on as a part-time player so that he can play anywhere outside of New York, right? Because you got to have it in New York. And so they're saying that it's still going to take some time because they got to go watch him. They got to make sure that he is court ready, make sure that he's been doing everything that he needs to do to be able to come back. So they're not sure when he's going to return, but they are reaching out to say, here's your part-time offer. So I'm really excited to see what's happening. So if fuck you, pay me was a person, it's Kyrie. And everybody's like, oh, he's going to lose all of this money, yada, yada. Listen, the reason I love this, and like, you know, Mo was like, he's watching this story. The reason I love this is because the first thing that white people try to do is take your money. They try to take your money. They try to take their endorsements. That's how they control you, right? Kyrie Irving stood when it was up to him to lose everything that he had worked for, and he said, no, I'm not going to take it. And I really hope that more people stand and understand what Kyrie Irving is doing, what Colin Kaepernick is doing, what these people are doing, right? When you are great, these people need you. And so we got to stop thinking that, oh, I ain't going to let them mess up my money, and stop letting them do us any type of way. That's why I stood for Kyrie. I kept saying, Kyrie, don't do it. He's not going to do it. He didn't do it. I'm so proud of him. I'm so happy. Right. And now they're crawling back to come get his help.
Now, let me give you my point of view on it. So, I respect everything you said. Like, that was cool, and I can see where you're coming from with that. So now, let me just paint the picture for, like, the way New York is right now. So, currently, I don't even know what the official name. I'm just calling it the Omarion. I heard that on social media. I'm running with it. But the Omarion COVID variant is supposedly spreading. You know what I'm saying? That's what they say. You know what I'm saying? I don't watch the news or anything like that. But, you know, sports is always my barometer to just see kind of like, that's my gauge of kind of seeing where this COVID situation is. So now in New York, you know what I'm saying, especially because I'm a resident, you know, Brooklyn, New York City, that's where I'm at. But in New York, you know, it's a new governor, I forgot her name, but the one that took over for Cuomo, starting on December 27th, any New York business, corporation, whatever it may be that has 100 or more employees, they have to now be vaccinated by December 27th. You have to at least get your first shot and be working on getting your second shot, or you would not be able to work. So that's all across New York. That's breaking news. It just came out in the last, like, day or so. So
right.
So my thinking is this. So, you know, just to kind of fast forward to this whole Kyrie situation. So the Nets are currently number one in the East, right? So looking at it from that point of view, you know, Durant's having a great season. Like I said, they're not number one in the whole thing. You know, you got the Western Conference, you got the Eastern Conference, but, you know, that's how the NBA is. It's two conferences, and you meet in the finals. But right now, the Nets are number one in the Eastern Conference. So their record currently right now as of today is 21-9. Kevin Durant is having he's balling. Right now, he's having an MVP-type season. So right now, it makes sense because they are getting hit with COVID. They got a lot of people in COVID protocol and stuff like this. And they did activate Kyrie, as you said. I like the way you put it, to be a part-time player, being that he can now play road games, because that was up to the Nets. To, you know, the Nets, that's their choice to let him or not, you know, play road games, but they still got to pay him. But now he's going to be able to play road games and practice in New York. So my thinking is this. Now, this is just my point of view, my perspective. I'm thinking that Kyrie, because he never said he was totally against the shot or whatever. He just didn't want to have to take it at that particular time. He wanted to do some more research. I'm thinking Kyrie already then probably got one shot, and he's working towards getting the rest of them, and he'll be fully vaccinated by the time the playoffs start, because that's going to be the real test. Now, that's when you know you be in there for your team and stuff like that, and we'll see where this goes. I like this is a breaking news. This is a great story for NBA. They do need Kyrie to come back just for the star purpose, especially once the NFL season ends. So it's going to be interesting. But my prediction is Kyrie will be fully vaccinated in time for the playoffs to make a run, because this is a year where they could. Yeah, it's kind of wide open. I think Golden State is going to.
I don't think that he's going to get vaccinated, because if they came and got him without him being vaccinated, I don't think that he's going to get vaccinated. At the end of the day, if anything, they're going to do without him during the playoffs, because he's still going to get a ring, whether he's playing or not. So either they're going to do without him, or they're going to get the playoffs to be somewhere other than in New York, right? Like, I agree with everything that you said. I just don't think that that's going to happen. It's more so like, you got a lot of people what's coming out there saying, yeah, you know, I got vaccinated. That truly, you know, was like, you know, fuck getting vaccinated, right? And, you know, like, LeBron did get vaccinated, but LeBron is more so like, he is kind of like with the news that's coming out with LeBron and how he's rocking, like, LeBron is he's converting. He's not what the fuck that he once was seen. You know, yeah, it's a black man with a lot of money. But, you know, this black man with a lot of money is risking it all out here in these streets dealing with these white women. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's letting people catch, like, he's going to parties that you can't take phones into, but you can't take this. And when he gets in there, like, he's outdating white women, so he can't be photographed.
I don't want to get into
so,
that.
So, you know, Kyrie and LeBron don't really see eye to eye. So I wouldn't say that he's looking at somebody like him as a role model. I think Kyrie already knew LeBron was fake. You know what I'm saying? That's why he really didn't like him. But, of course, we all didn't understand, you know, why Kyrie had, you know, an issue. You know, we thought it was on the court. But with all of the information that's, like, being brought out in reference to LeBron, it makes me think, like, you know, Kyrie is way more woke and in tune than we thought we was. But, again, I don't think that he's going to get it. I think he's going to ride them to the end. That you can't force me to do something. Like, you had all of these people in healthcare and in everywhere else making shit happen without this shot. And then all of a sudden, now that you have a shot available, it's mandatory. I call bullshit.
Well, like I
but
said, it's going to be a
great, Omarion, which is not called Omarion, but the variant that they're calling the Omarion variant, they're saying that there's plenty of cases that are popping back up. Now, not to say, like, I don't know the statistic. They're just saying, like, of the cases, they're saying, like, a lot of cases are popping back up, especially in Ohio. I think it was 2 days ago, they had, like, 1,500 cases within 24 hours that popped up. So, you know, people are out here, you know, kind of, like, trying to live life, and they're not protecting themselves as they need to. I know Ohio was one that had a huge spike. L.A. was one that had a huge spike. And I think New York was getting a huge spike. So, you know, people are out here living like everything is golden. Now, keep in mind, these numbers that are coming in from L.A. and New York, right, they're coming in. Most of these people are already vaccinated. Most of them are already vaccinated. So now they're trying to say that you have to get a booster every year for the thing. Like, you know, they only know what they know. But the people that are getting it and that are going to get checked, they're vaccinated because most of these people are shocked. Like, well, I got the vaccine. How the hell am I sick? Like, the vaccine doesn't protect you from anything. It only allows them to control you. So I digress. Anyways, moving on. The next story that I want to cover is the Kanye West and Big Sean story, okay? Now, this was very interesting because Big Sean, right, awesome artist, he is signed to Good Music, which is Kanye's record, right? So Big Sean, you know, said some words, and then Ye went on Drink Champs, right, with Nori down in Miami and said, you know, one of the worst things he could have ever did was sign Big Sean. And so Big Sean was like, well, wait, like, you know, I mean, we didn't see eye to eye, but I remain loyal to you. You know, Big Sean in his interview stated he remained loyal to Ye. He was the first person to tweet, you know, Ye for president. You know, when Ye stood in support of the baby, Ye said the baby was the first person to openly, you know, support him. So he supported, you know, the baby with everything that was going on before they was trying to cancel him for the Skittle community, right? Mm. And so he says that Big Sean went on to say that Ye owes him $6 million or more dollars, that there was money that was paid out to Good Music that he never received. That regardless of what, when he seen Ye, he didn't make it an issue to ask for money or talk about money because the circumstances of them seeing each other. At one point, he didn't even have Ye's contact information to reach out to him, but he still remained supportive of Ye and what he was doing, right? And so, you know, Ye spoiled as shit, you know. He was like, you know, he was with him when he met with Donald Trump, you know, like just speaking on top-tier shit about his loyalty. And, you know, I love me some Ye, right? But we all know, you know, Ye has the tendency to flip out. It's his world. And like he says, hey, you know, Ye sitting on billions. You know, he 1 or 2 billion or whatever. So the $6 million is nothing to Ye, but it would change, you know, his life. You know, Big Sean is like, shit, the $6 million is a lot to me, which is nothing to Ye. So, you know, let's talk about getting my money.
I'm going to give you my point of view on this. So, like I said, I always got a different perspective on this. So, first off, I want to say shout out to Nori, Drink Champs. Ever since he's been on Love & Hip Hop Miami, that's just, you know, the show was already dope, and now that just solidified, put a stamp on it. Mm-hmm. So now that's the standard now. So big shout out, man, to Nori doing big things with his Drink Champs. So now, since that, Love & Hip Hop Miami ended, you know what I'm saying, basically he's been on fire with his interview. So the Kanye interview came right after the appearance on Love & Hip Hop Miami, so that set the stage. And I listened to that Ye interview, and that Ye interview was dope. So now, and then, you know, then he had Ghostface and Ray, which was a dope interview. Then he had Alicia Keys. Then after that, French Montana. And then now, this past Friday, dropped the Big Sean interview. So in the Ye interview, you heard him going back and forth and stuff like that. And I guess he did say some things about Big Sean. He said some stuff about John Legend or whatever that was kind of like had people like, okay, what's really going on behind the scenes? So now I haven't listened to the Big Sean interview as of yet because, you know, I got to be in that wave for me to, you know, to listen to it. Right now, you know, I'm a big fan of Big Sean, but I like the, you know, I liked his Detroit album that he had. The, you know, when he first really kind of came out with Ye, it was like a mixtape or whatever. After that, after him and Ye kind of fell out, I've been kind of like off and on Big Sean, but I do think they will get their situation resolved. But if you listen to the Ye interview, the way he conducts his business is much different from your normal person. Remember, we talked about think different, and sometimes this can come back to bite you. You know what I'm saying? The think different, if you listen to his interviews, like, I'm not big on contracts, I'll sign anything and all this other type of stuff. He's like, I'm just big on vibes, and we just rock out. We do, like, handshake deals and stuff like that. So my understanding is that they'll resolve this eventually because once Big Sean and Ye hook back up, it's nothing for them to go on tour or whatever, and he'll get that $6 million right back. So Ye good for it. So the thing is, I don't know why they fell out of why Big Sean fell out of favor with Kanye. Apparently, it was something behind the scenes that he must have did, that he moved different, that Ye just didn't like. And being that he's a Gemini, you know, Geminis have two faces. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I got Geminis in my family. I dealt with Geminis. I know how
yes, they hard to deal with.
Yeah, so.
Smoke is a Gemini. So, you see,
yeah,
they're not logical.
Exactly. When you're in their good graces and y'all vibe, I mean, the sky's the limit. But when you fall out with a Gemini, it's like, damn, what happened? The switch up is crazy. So that's just that Gemini energy I think he's giving Big Sean. That's why I'm not even interested in hearing the interview. I basically know his story or whatever. But the thing is.
But let me stop you there, right? Because I want you to give Big Sean the same energy that you gave Ye. Because if you actually listen to the Big Sean interview, he tell you why they fell out. He tell you what happened behind the scenes. But when they fell out, Ye had already owed him the $6 million. Like, he tells you, like, he wasn't really putting out shit. But he was helping Ye write his music and never got paid for it, never asked for producer points, any of that. You know what I'm saying? He talks about songs that he wrote verses for Ye.
But that's his creativity. If you really study Kanye, that's how he gets down. That's why I just said he's not big into contracts and all this stuff because that messes up the vibe, the energy. So what I'm trying to say is with him just being affiliated with Kanye, all Kanye got to do is just be like, you know what? All right, you know what? Big Sean, come through. I'm gonna produce your next album, and we'll go on tour. That he'll make more.
But that's what he said, though. He said the reason that he never sweated the $6 million is because Ye put him in position. Regardless of how this works out, he has respect for Ye because Ye changed his life. He was very humble in his interview.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, I'm just on the outside looking in. Like I could see him getting tight. And plus, you know, as a man, he's gonna like stick up for, you know, for being, I guess, you know, Ye like aired him out. You know what I'm saying? I guess, like I said, he must have did something that Kanye didn't agree with, and, you know, Kanye aired him out.
A video that Drake,
Drake and Ye weren't getting along, and it was the video, and
Drake was basically saying the song was already long. You know, why did you have to put a track on there with Ye? It was already over 3 minutes, and then Ye got mad thinking that, you know, he removed his verse because of Drake, and that's where it went.
So that's the thing. Like, the competition, that silent competition between Kanye and Drake is real. You know what I'm saying? They like Kanye talked about it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. But, you know, long story short, I think after about 2 years or so, they'll come back. You know, Gemini energy will switch back over. And then, you know, him and Big Sean.
Yeah, you know, Geminis don't stay gone long.
Yeah.
They just,
so, you know,
they just a lot to deal with.
Yeah. So, and then as a journalist, shout out to Nori, because, of course, he's going to ask him the question. And Sean, you know, Big Sean answered the question. But to me, Big Sean will never fully reach the potential that he's very talented. He's like a great actor, right? But you need that director, man. You need that director. Common ain't been the same since he ain't, you know, since him and Ye ain't been rocking. You know what I'm saying? Kanye is that genius director that can just Tarantino your shit. You
well, he did say after Kanye did the drink champs, and you know he was upset. He said Kanye reached out to him and said, "Let's get together and talk about this so we can heal." And he said at that moment he was upset. You know, like this man, you know, dropped all his BS. And he didn't want it, he said, but, you know, now he's open to it. You know, he had to get out of his feelings. So, of course, like you're saying, they're going, you know, Ye reached out to him and said, hey, let's figure this out. So that was a good thing. Let's jump into our next top story that's hot. And I'm going to just say, I told you, niggas, I told you. So let's get into the Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. Okay, the trial has started, all right? Now, if y'all remember, last year, you know, Tory Lanez and Megan Thee Stallion was hanging out a lot, right? But as friends, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was nothing like that, you know, woonty-woon. Megan Thee Stallion had a friend that was in jail, and she got out, and, you know, Megan introduced her to the world as her best friend, you know, woonty-woon. So her friend and Tory Lanez started dealing with each other, right? They started dealing with each other. Remember the infamous incident where Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez, they went to a party with Kylie Jenner, and Meg was drunk. You know, they said she's a sloppy drunk, allegedly, and she was upset by the way that Tory was flirting with Kylie Jenner, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, would you blame Tory? Shit, they like black meat. You know, get in where you fit in, right? And so she was mad. She was drunk. And then it was some information that was divulged. It was a fight. Meg took to social media to allege that Tory shot her in the foot, all right? So then she posted a picture on social media showing the doctor supposedly moving bullet fragments from her leg, and everybody automatically said, Meg, that looks like glass. That doesn't look like bullet fragments, right? So then the photo disappeared from the media, all right? So then when Tory started to talk and tell his side, they put a gag order on Tory. Tory can't tell his side, which I said was very unfair. How can Meg speak her side, and then when Tory get ready to speak, you want to shut Tory up? So, therefore, the world was divided immediately because they feel as though because a woman states something, even though the shit doesn't add up, that you're supposed to go with the woman. I wasn't buying it. I already told y'all I'm Team Tory. I said what I said, okay? So, now, move forward. Tory did a pop-up at a festival, and then they put him, you know, sent him back to court. You know, you violated the order, right? This is how petty Meg is being. So, to me, I'm like, man, why is Meg being so bitch? You know what I'm saying? You trying to make it seem like you are extremely scared of this man and yada, yada, right? So I didn't really understand what it was, but I knew that it would come out eventually. So now that they're in trial, the first day of trial, somebody that was speaking on behalf of making Meg look good, you know, told the story of, you know, yada, yada, and it made Tory look crazy. Meg then opened her motherfucking lying-ass mouth and say shit. So then Tory said, I wish some real people would report what really happened from my side so that we can make this shit even. And that's what they did. So when the truth start coming out, then Meg, I don't know why I got to keep reliving this over and over. So anytime this story does not go in Meg's favor and it makes her look like the liar she is, she's going on a rampage. Well, what came out is that one police officer said he overheard Tory tell Meg to dance, bitch, before he shot her, right? Well, how is Tory still alive if he had a gun with the police there? He's a black man, right? That wasn't really credible. So, I mean, honestly, they tell you how he was arrested, right? And it wasn't because of that, right? She had already been hit with glass fragments before they had even pulled up, so I digress. So, boom. And then if you heard him, listen, if you heard him tell her to dance before he shot her, why didn't you get the gun out of his hand? Why was the gun under the driver's seat? Come on now. You follow me. Don't cut me off yet. The gun was under the passenger seat when they got there. It wasn't in Tory's hand. So how did you overhear that when the gun wasn't on him? Okay, moving forward. So they're also saying that they basically was starting to say what happened, that Tory was in a relationship with her friend, and Megan and her friend was fighting right before all of this happened, and the gun residue was on the friend's hands and not Tory's hand. So it gets interesting. There was no gun residue on Tory's hand. It was on the friend's hand, and they was actually fighting. And so they said Tory told the police, man, it is nothing like that. I'm just trying to protect my girl, right? So therefore, Meg is upset because what happened is Meg backdoored her best friend and slept with Tory knowing that he was dealing with the best friend, right? So now it gets juicier, right? So now, Meg, you're a lowlife because now you're running behind your friends just because you're Meg. You didn't want Tory before. Now you want to sleep with him just because of this. And now you overly reacting on a bunch of shit. So they asked for the bullet fragments that they got out of Meg's leg. How did you get shot in your leg and in your foot and you twerking 2 days later? And so she posted something like, thank God it missed all of the major ligaments and this and that other. Bitch, do you know how small them bones is in your foot? Bitch, miss me. So why they're saying they're saying that they can't find the bullet fragments. They've been misplaced. So you mean to tell me at such a high-profile case with bullet fragments, you cannot find them? Are you fucking kidding me? And now the label that she was under, the label that she's under, right, and she went over to them, but the label 300, they just sold their label to, like, Universal or something like that. He was just, like, I think, I don't know, he had a lot going on with his artist, and he was just kind of over it. But the thing is crazy because now, you know, they tried to push her in the light as, like, you know, to be so positive, but she got so much BS. You know, congratulations to Meg for graduating college, you know, through all of the lies and all of the different relationships. She still was able, and backdooring sleeping with your friend, she was able to graduate college, right? Hopefully she opens up the nursing homes that she said, or the assisted living homes that she said. But for everything that she does, then they try to go and get a deal, right? You can tell these people at Roc Nation are working hard to try to keep her image clear, right? But it's a lot dealing with her. And I'm going to make this epiphany here for you guys. That in the future, when it's all said and done, and you got people doing interviews on Meg, like how when, you know, they allow Nicki Minaj to be the superstar, and then you got people that come out like, you know, she's really hard to work with. When it's all said and done, we are going to hear about how difficult it was for her management team to keep her image clear. You know, I feel like she's with she's with the guy from New York. What is his name?
I have no clue.
Whatever the guy's name is that she's with. She's with this guy from New York, and a piece of it seems like this is the longest relationship that she's had. But a part of it feels as though, is it PNB Rock? I don't know his name. Don't make me lie. I really don't care, but, you know, a piece of it is like damage control. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, one of those relationships, because she started out with a publicity relationship with Moneybagg Yo, right? And so a part of it is like she has to stay in a functioning relationship to show the world that she's not the problem, right? It went from Moneybagg Yo, then she was seen with somebody else, then she was out with Tory Lanez, and now, you know, she's got the person. And I just feel like while this case is going on, you know, they have to, like, rock it out. I seen he got her some graduation gifts or something like that, and it was like, really? That's what you get your person, and y'all supposedly have money? So I just feel like it's a fake relationship.
Wait, hold on. Now, what type of statement was that, Blake?
I just feel like it's a fake relationship. Now, at one point,
Money don't mean you got a body's extravagant.
No, I'm just shading her because she's a liar, and I'm sick of these black women trying to down our brothers. You know what I'm saying? And so, okay. Joe Budden said it best as well. I just don't like it. Now, if he really did this to you, I would really be supportive of her because I do not condone domestic violence. I'm a domestic violence survivor myself. I talk about it a lot here. But don't get in your feelings and try to ruin a man, right? But Joe Budden said it best on his podcast. He said the industry found out what really happened. So they said allegedly there's a videotape of what happened, and they're saving the videotape for trial. He said, but look at this. He said that Tory Lanez is popping up with brand conscious people. Now, if Tory Lanez would have really did this, and him being as hot as he was, do you really think that he would pop up with all of these brand conscious people? Remember, everybody was like, forget Tory. Tory a B. You don't hit a woman. You don't shoot a woman. Everybody was fuck Tory, right? And then after a while, then he started popping up with Lil Baby, with DaBaby. He was with Drake, doing music, working with everybody. So there's something that they know because these people are brand conscious and they don't play about their image, right? Everybody's now back rocking with Tory. It's some shit about to come out. This is not what she's saying it is. And Joe Budden said it best, like, why would all of these brand conscious people that wouldn't be seen next to him with binoculars, basically, be all of a sudden back working with him? Because the truth is going to come out.
Well, all right, so here's my two cents. So we'll see. You know what I'm saying? Only time will tell. I just want to shout out Meg Thee Stallion. I think she's a great story. You know what I'm saying? From 2017 to 2021, I think I sent you the story or whatever, but she became a millionaire, three-time Grammy winner, and a college graduate. So, you know, I know we got a lot of gossip and a lot of things that went on with that, but I just wanted to salute that, man, because that's dope. You know what I'm saying? But only time will tell. I see Tory Lanez, he did drop a new project called Alone at Prom, and I kind of canceled Tory Lanez once that incident happened because I just don't like fuckboy type shit. It just seemed like he was doing some different type shit that I just didn't rock with. So I haven't rocked with him since that Chick Chick 5 on the cover. Ashanti on the cover. But we'll see. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the music tells the story for me. So long story short, ever since that incident, you know, Meg has been on fire. You know what I'm saying? She dropped two dope albums, in my opinion, solidified herself as the number one female artist, rapper artist in the game right now.
Like her management company is working hard to keep her on top for everything that comes out crazy. Just like when this shit came out and she was looking crazy when they started really reporting what's going on. Now they're trying to stop them from reporting the trial, right? But then after that, then they put out she's signing a Netflix deal. Her management company is working dumb hard to keep her fucking image clean. Like, as soon as this shit came out, all this shit that's going on, then they say, okay, man, got a Netflix deal. Like, they working at Roc Nation. Do you understand me? They deserve every fucking dime that they getting from this bitch. They might have made her renegotiate her contract. They working like Kris Jenner, okay? Kris Jenner might be working for Roc Nation at this point.
This is just another story to keep the eye on or whatever. Let me see if Tory Lanez can get his name back because he, you know, it got ran through the...
Man, everybody already started rocking with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? He got a project coming out with Drake. He got all kind of shit coming out.
Y'all cancel him.
I told y'all before, so I'm not canceling Tory. It's not Tory. I'm Team Tory. Something not right about it. But, all right, let's move on. All right, I got, let me see, one more story. I'm not even really studying that YG thing. We're going to talk about Amazon, right? Because we need to. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is allegedly because it has not been proven thus far. But it's important to me because I do a lot of business with Amazon, okay? My books are published through Amazon as a self-published author. I have 10 titles with Amazon. I'm an Amazon influencer and you know, business accounts and so on and so forth with Amazon. So this means a lot. Now, they talk about you never know what goes into the business, right? You only see this business excelling, right? And so, you know, now my eyebrows are raised, and this is a story that I'm following. Just last week, they had tornadoes that, like, kind of tore through the South, okay? And it was a deadly tornadoes. And there's a candle warehouse, an Amazon candle warehouse in Tennessee. And allegedly, they asked to go home when, you know, the tornadoes was coming through. Apparently, one tornado had already went through, and the workers wanted to go home. And allegedly, they were told, you cannot go home or you will be fired. Some people left anyways. There were people that stayed. 9 people lost their lives at the Amazon warehouse, okay? And so, you know, that is a story, like, wait. And so now, you know, they're saying, no, anybody can come and go as they please, which we know that's a lie, right? So now they're just like, we didn't tell them that they couldn't go home, yada, yada. So now there's a new story out about a delivery driver that was delivering packages in the tornadoes, right? And they recorded her. She didn't do it. Somebody recorded her delivering packages in the tornadoes, like Amazon. We have tornadoes coming through here. Why is there still an Amazon truck here? And then the young lady proceeded to put out the text message conversation that she had, or the text communication that she had with her supposedly leadership at Amazon, where they're telling her that she has to keep driving and making deliveries or she can face termination, which is completely different than the warehouse situation, but they're all saying the same thing. Now, mind you guys, Jeff has stepped down from CEO, okay? There was a lot of things going on saying that, you know, people weren't getting their overtime pay, yada, yada, so he did what was best for him. You don't want to seek the lawsuits, X, Y, Z. He stepped down. Now, for most major companies, there's going to be something that happens one way or another that person is going, the CEO, the person that created the company, will step down because it's in best interest for them to step down. They're still getting their paycheck, right? No matter what, they're still getting their money, but they're just not running it. It's in best interest for someone else to run it. So I'm pretty sure that they may have wanted Jeff to still be CEO because at least, you know, it was overtime issues. Now you got somebody running this corporation, or the corporation is not being ran properly because people aren't allowed to end their shifts early. People are stuck on a time frame that, you know, that 2-day delivery, that sometimes you can order a package and they're like, it'll be there in a couple of hours. You know what I'm saying? So in order to get that done, you know, keep in mind on what these companies have to go through, right? And so I just want to tell my people that when you order things online, just be mindful. Even if you can just chat in with Amazon, if the weather is getting bad, do not be that much of an asshole to feel like you just got to get your package. Do the work for them. If they are not allowing these people to get off of work, put a hold on your package. You can go into your Amazon account and do hold delivery and hold your delivery, okay? If they're not going to do it, we need to do it. It's our duty and our due diligence to do it, to pay attention to the weather in our area and make sure that this is not happening. Right now, we do not have any truth as to what's going on, but I am following this story. I do feel very bad, and my condolences to the people that have lost their lives in Tennessee and anywhere else that had to work during this horrible storm that could not, you know, get away, you know, to safety with their family. It was 9 people that passed in that storm in Tennessee when the building was compromised. And there are some people that are in critical condition there from, you know, being in the building. So, again, my condolences, and whoever is, you know, did make it, I pray that they pull through. But the one that did make it, you know, she's definitely talking. The one that they were talking to, she's talking, saying they told us we couldn't go home. And she got smashed with a cement, you know, boulder. So she's alive, but, of course, she has a long road of recovery. So that was my topics for tonight, you know. Mo, I'm going to pass it back to you. So you could finish it out.
Right. All right. So, Amazon. Yeah, that was an interesting story because Amazon has become neck and neck with the post office. They, like, right there, you know what I'm saying, that industry, that whole, you know, deliver it to your doorstep industry. So, yeah. All right, so I guess I'll get into my few topics that I have. Let me see here. So you covered a lot, you know what I'm saying? You covered a lot of topics that I was going to get into, but I still got a few. So first off, I'm going to start out with a sports. I'm going to take it back to the sports because I thought this was an interesting story. So shout out to college athletics, you know what I'm saying? For the longest time, they were getting the short end of the stick as far as just, you know, being in labor and not getting no type of, you know, just the education, which, you know, they was getting, scholarships or whatever. But, you know, the university is making millions of dollars off these likenesses of these athletes, especially if you was a star. So, you know, starting now, I mean, it probably happened like a week ago, but it got mandated probably like a couple months ago. But now in college athletics, for the first time ever, you can make money, you know, in your, you know, off your names, you know what I'm saying, with images and likenesses. So that's a big time thing now, you know what I'm saying? So now if you're a star athlete, you can make money off your jerseys, you know, whatever you do, your social media, whatever you do to, you know, build your brand, now you can truly profit from it. So that's just a big time game changer, you know, because college athletics is huge. You know, that's basically just the leeway into all the pro, you know, NBA and NFL. So you already know that's just the factory basically for that. So shout out to that. And then now also too, another win for college athletes is now they have a transfer portal available for college athletes. So now as a star athlete, or say for instance, if you was a high recruit like out of high school, but you wanted to go to Alabama or Ohio State, you know, these big powerhouse colleges, you know what I'm saying, as far as football or whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's still a star quarterback that came up that he's ahead of you. So, you know, you missing reps and you can't get in because you got this guy ahead of you. Now you can transfer. Before you could always transfer, but you have to sit out a year. So you lose a whole year of your eligibility and, you know what I'm saying, and your college prime. Now you can just do that seamlessly. So I just think that's a big win. So that's definitely just a game changer. So that's something just kind of, you know, that's just – it just needed to happen, man, because for the longest time, man, you had all these big-time names in college, and, like, they just made so much money from the university. And granted, you know, they probably – most of them went on to become stars in the NFL or the NBA and make millions that way. But – the ones that didn't, the ones that was a bigger star in college than they were in the pros, you know, now this is for them, man. So I just think that's a great upgrade and change to the system there. So that's that. And then while sticking in sports, so I know we talked about the Brooklyn Nets earlier, but I want to talk about we talked about the Eastern Conference team. Shout out to my Cavs. The Cavs is like quietly number three in the Eastern Conference, you know what I'm saying? So I told you the Nets is number one. I didn't see that coming. The Cavs is number three with a 19-12 record as of now, man. So I'm just kind of like, wow, they're kind of sneaky good. But switching over to the Western Conference, the Lakers, man. I got to talk Lakers real quick. And I just came up. I just bought a Lakers T-shirt, too, a couple weeks ago. I caught it on sale, a little vintage Lakers joint. But they disappointed me, man. Like, right now, I just think – I think LeBron has finally passed his prime, man. I hate to say it, man. He's been a staple as far as greatness, you know, for the longest. But, you know, you can see chinks in the army now. And you can see – you can just see, you know what I'm saying, the young guns just taking over and the established new people that's in their primes ready to take that position. So – and then Anthony Davis, man. The guy is hurt again. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. They just signed Isaiah Thomas. Shout out to the OG Isaiah Thomas from the Bad Boy Pistons, but they signed the short Isaiah Thomas to like a, I think he got a 10-day contract, you know what I'm saying? So they trying to work him out. The whole Westbrook thing, I don't know what's going on. Maybe he'll step up now because he has to because Anthony Davis is hurt, so they got him for the long haul for the regular season, but they still like at 500. They'll probably be a play-in team. And then now LeBron's got to play even more minutes, and he wanted to kind of, you know, kind of pace himself. So it's just looking like a mess, and they look like a bunch of has-beens, you know what I'm saying? They're like a all-star team from like 10 years ago. You know, you got Dwight Howard, you got Rajon Rondo, you got Carmelo Anthony, but these are all old-school names, you know what I'm saying? It's all about the new wave now. So with that being the case, the team to beat this year, especially if Klay Thompson comes back and is healthy, you got Steph Curry, man. It's his league now, you know what I'm saying? Steph Curry's the man now. The mantle has been passed. I'm saying it. And basically, you know, big shout-out. He just broke Ray Allen's record for most three-pointers in NBA history. He changed the game with the three-point shot. I mean, the three-point shot was always a popular shot, but he just revolutionized it because he was the first person who can just really hit it consistently, you know, just off the dribble. You know what I'm saying? So just shout-out to Steph, man. He's definitely in the pantheon of point guards. He's number three. So I got number one, Matt Johnson, old school 80s, Showtime Lakers. I got number two, now Steph Curry, and I got number three, the OG Isaiah Thomas from the Bad Boy Detroit Pistons. But, like I said, Golden State's the team to beat. Big shout-out to Andrew Wiggins, man. He's having a phenomenal season. He should be an all-star this year. He's finally coming to his own, finally living up to his expectations. And then I just think now in that system, Steve Kerr's system, and you got Draymond. I'm so glad they kept Draymond. You know, they was thinking about maybe trading him for a minute to go younger, maybe trade him for the kid out of Philly. I forgot his name, the Australian kid that's not playing for Philly, Ben Simmons. I'm so glad they didn't do that because I like what Draymond is made of. You know, he's a Michigan dude, so he's got that Bad Boy Pistons mentality, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he's just the heart and soul of that team. So Golden State is definitely the team to beat as far as NBA. But I don't really focus on NBA till the NFL season is over. But that's just my, like, pre-All-Star game kind of analysis of that. And we'll see if Westbrook gets traded before the deadline. If Westbrook gets traded before the deadline, dude, man, I hate to say it, man, but your career is almost over if that happens, man. So hopefully he show improves. You know, Anthony Davis is hurt. He got to step his game up, man, because LeBron needs this dude, man, because LeBron is not trying to go out first round of the playoffs like he did last year. So we'll see. That's a developing story as far as NBA. So now switching gears, let's see, a couple things before I get into, I guess, some music reviews and stuff like that to take us out of here. A couple things that I've been watching on TV this week, man, that's got me like, oh, shit. So first off, big shout-out to my wife. She put me onto this show, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I told you, like, our guilty pleasures is reality television. And last week I talked about how The Real Housewives of what I call D.C. is my shit. You know what I'm saying? That's my shit. I can't, you know, I'm almost done. We almost at the finale. We almost about to be watching the reunion and stuff like that. So that's just been like, and I just did, that was just a pleasant surprise. I was not thinking that was going to be what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been just loyal to the Real Housewives of ATL. But that's, D.C. is definitely legit. But anyway, switching gears. Another show that my wife put me on to was basically The Family Chantel. I can't even lie, man. I fucks with that show. To me, that's like my new Cosby show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to see, like, a prominent black family, you know what I'm saying? Like, taking notes, you know what I'm saying? Standing together and just, you know. But they came out of the whole 90 Day Fiancé wave that's on the TLC Go, which is the learning channel. And remember I told you, I watch these reality shows to learn shit. If I'm not learning from it, I can't fuck with it. So anything that I do watch, anything I do listen to, I'm learning something. There's some type of jewel that I'm getting, and that's why I'm watching it, because I'm very particular about the shows I watch. The Family Chantel definitely been like a little character study as far as this whole Dominican Republic for, I mean, I want to get out there eventually, you know what I'm saying? I was supposed to go out there like about a year and a half ago, but that's when the pandemic and all that happened and kind of messed up my whole guy trip that we had planned. But anyway, it's interesting just seeing that whole Dominican Republic dynamic, this dude Pedro, he's going through some stuff. I don't want to give it away for the people that maybe haven't seen it yet, but it's very interesting, man. Very interesting character study of just the whole 90 Day Fiancé kind of situation and wave and popularity is always good because you're just seeing two different cultures and how they mesh together and try to make a marriage work. So big shout out to that. Another show that's got me in the zone, man. Big shout out to 50 Cent, Power Book 2. Man, yo, close your ears. If you haven't seen and you're not updated on Power right now, close your ears because I'm about to tell you some stuff. So this last episode was off the hook, you know what I'm saying? Because the one thing that I think turns people off with a lot of these, like, hood kind of drug dealer type shows is, like, it just shows, like, the super criminal, you know what I'm saying? The guy that's just always getting away, doing dirt and getting away. But that's kind of – that's why I like Power because – you know, if you know anything about the OG Power, you know, Ghost, shout out to Amari Hardwick. He played that character. But, you know, I always say this too. You know, once you in too deep, no matter what, it's going to come back to get you. You know what I'm saying? Basically, you know, your dirt is going to come back to get you. You know what I'm saying? You can do all you want to try to get out the game. And try to sew up all the loose ends, but eventually that comes back. So that's what happened in this last episode of Power. Tyreek, he got bombed. It's interesting. Just when you thought that he was about to be on some ghost shit and get his shit together, he gets bagged. So, you know, he's going to jail. But, you know, his lawyer, and this is a big-time thing, too, because, you know, you had in the original Power – with Amari Hardwick, you know, his lawyer was Proctor, you know, the dude that played Turtle from, what's that show back in the day, Entourage, you know what I'm saying? So he was the ill lawyer working with Ghost and, you know, getting him out of situations when he got kind of tied up. But now, big shout out to Method Man, man. Method Man stepped his game up. I love the way he's acting on the show. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can get Tyreek out of his bind because Tyreek basically got caught up on two bodies. One he did, other one he didn't do. But it's just going to be interesting to see how he get out of it. But I just love the acting, man, on the show right now. Like, I'm loving Lorenz Tate character right now. Like, and, you know, because it took a while. He's been on the show for, like, about three, four seasons, and he came on there with the OG, you know, the Amari Hardwick Power. But you could tell, you know, he was still, you know, he hadn't been in nothing in a minute, so he was trying to find himself. But now I'm starting to see those old dog characteristics come out. You know what I'm saying? It's starting to be like if old dog, you know, polished himself up, got out the streets and got into, you know, the politics and shit like that, man. So big shout out to Lorenz Tate, man. I'm feeling his character. And then shout out to Mary J. Oh, Monet, she playing that role. Only Mary J could play this role, man. And it's like perfect for her. So I love what they're doing. And then they brought in Red Man, who I was beefing because I hate that whole Red Man, Method Man dynamic. It's like, damn, can Method Man do anything without Red Man coming here? Because I like Wu-Tang Meth. I don't like this Red Man, Method Man, Method Man. It confuses me. Give me Wu-Tang Meth all day. But they brought in Red Man. He's got his real small role, so nothing big, but he's like in jail. He's actually Method Man's brother. But right now, like, he in jail. He down on his luck. He gets bullied in jail. It's like all types of shit going on. So I was like, all right, Red Man, he can play that role. I can see him playing that role. So now he's trying to get him out too. So that's gonna be interesting. But I like how they did that, man. So shout out to 50, man. Everybody getting the bag with 50 right now. Everybody, you know, getting a second career with 50 Cent. Who knew? Who knew? I definitely didn't see this coming that he would be this big time TV producer. But shout out to him and Stars and what they got going on there. And he got it in rotation. Like, as soon as one ends, it's just like Love and Hip Hop and Black Ink Crew and all that. They got a franchise now. So as soon as one ends, there's another one coming. So big shout outs to that. You know what I'm saying? That's what I've been watching. Now we got about 9 minutes left in the show. So a couple music reviews to end out the show. Another story that was kind of interesting. I don't know if this was fake, true, or whatever. Might have been a publicity stunt. But last week, supposedly at Prime 112, which is some big – I got to get out to Miami. It's been too long. I get it back out there, chill out on Collins, and get my South Beach on. But anyway, Prime 112, this some Miami hotspot in South Beach. Apparently, Jim Jones' entourage and Freddie Gibbs' entourage got into it, and supposedly Jim Jones and Freddie Gibbs got into a fight. Somebody said, you know, Jim Jones washed him or whatever. I don't know what happened, but it was trending, I think, Wednesday night. You know, and everybody was talking about it Thursday night and stuff like that. So we'll see. Freddie Gibbs definitely got a wave, you know what I'm saying? He dropped Alfredo like about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Classic album produced by Alchemist, really put him on the map. And then Jim Jones, Jimmy, that's my guy. Shout out to Dipset, Cam, you know, the whole crew, Dipset. But they needed a win, you know what I'm saying? I'm like how they're getting back into it. So if this was a publicity stunt, I don't know if it's real, fake, or whatever. A lot of people saying, because the new album he's got coming out now, supposedly it's called Prime 112. And now they're wondering if Freddie Gibbs is actually going to be on the album. So this could have been just a publicity stunt. But who knows? Jim Jones, I'm here for it. But that got me just gave me an excuse to just rock my Dipset. You know what I'm saying? I've been rocking El Chapo. That's what I meant to say. El Chapo. That's a classic deluxe album from Jim Jones dropped last year, man. If you never heard it, check it out. Dope. And then I've been rocking out Purple Haze, too. Big shout out to Cam. And with that being the case, too, I'm going to just switch over this because another classic Cam Street album that's dope that gets like kind of lost in the sauce sometimes is the Cam Votto album called Guns and Butter. You know what I'm saying? Shit is dope. Anyway, so with that being the case, big shout out to Votto because now he just linked the deal. So now hear this out. Basically, we got this group called together. It's going to be called the Council. But apparently it's Votto, Dave East, and Lloyd Banks. Interesting. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm interested to see it. I'm like some New York street music. You know what I'm saying? I can get with it. And they all kind of like had a little wave, but they never truly reached their potential. So we'll see. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the biggest fan of either one of them. I like probably Votto the most because I just, you know, I like how Cam put him in position. But I want to see him because, you know, he's not – He's like an offset of Dipset. He's not, you know, a Dipset member, but he's an offset. You know, him and Cam, you know, they call themselves a UN when they do music together, man. But I fucks with Votto and Lloyd Banks. Say what you want about him. I love that first album he had with G-Unit. You know what I'm saying? The Hunger for More. That was a dope G-Unit album. And then Dave East, you know, he's had a couple songs here and there, you know, representing Harlem. We'll see. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting. So I think they just got a nice balance of people that's really hungry to trying to, you know, see where they're going to go with their career, their next move. So I think that's dope. And so that's like some East Coast, you know, I don't want to say super group because they ain't all superstars just yet. But, you know, it's kind of in that realm where they're trying to come together and win. But on the West Coast, be on the lookout for the Mount Westmore project that's going to be coming out pretty soon. And that's Snoop, Ice Cube, E-40, and Too Short. So you know that's just legendary personified. You know what I'm saying? You know I get on my West Coast. Yeah, I love when I catch my West Coast vibes, I'm just a whole other person. That just takes me in a whole different lane. You know what I'm saying? And I get in my West Coast vibe at least probably like twice out of the year. So I'm just waiting for that project to drop, and I'll probably be on my West Coast shit. And then lastly, quick album review. I got to tip my hat off to Rick Ross, richer than I ever been. So to me, I think it's his best work. I think it's his best project. I'm giving it 5 mics. You know what I'm saying? So I come from that source. You know, I grew up on the source, the 5 mic rating system, or the mic rating system. 5 mic is an instant classic. That's what I think it is. I like it because it's short and to the point. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bunch of just songs. It's like, it's got a concept richer than I ever been. It's kind of in the mode I'm in right now. It's definitely in the mode I'm in. That kind of the mode I'm in right now. Perfect timing. He's got a nice mixture of talent on the album. He's got Cash Dial on there. Big shout out to Cash Dial. You know, she did her thing on BMF. You know what I'm saying? So she back rhyming and she sound hungry too. It's like, okay, Cash Dial, I'll see you. You know what I'm saying? I liked her little acting she did. 50 gave her a nice little gig. You know what I'm saying? Wiz Khalifa, I haven't heard him in a minute. He's got a nice song with Wiz Khalifa. Big shout out to Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying, representing. Timbaland produced one of the hottest tracks on there, and it's a street track. It's like one of them songs he would have gave Jay-Z back in the day, but, you know, it's Rick Ross time. Benny the Butcher comes in there, you know what I'm saying, Coke verse, you already know how you get down. Wale, Wale and Future got a song with Rick Ross. It's called Warm Words in a Cold World. And it's got that old school David Porter, The Masquerade Is Over sample. That's one of my pop's favorite records back in the day. That's a song that Biggie did, the Who Shot Ya. Wu-Tang did Duel of the Iron Mike. That was a jizzer. So a lot of samples came out of that song. It's a classic song, but Rick Ross, they killed it. So just shout that out. It definitely gives my rap radio seal of approval. And that's it. So this has been the world famous Chop Up. Big shout out to Smooth on the check in. I know Smooth was on, kind of just playing the sideline tonight. But big shout out to Smooth, on the check in. Big shout out to Black holding down the world famous Chop Up with me. You know what I'm saying? Usually this is my segment, the last half hour of the show. So, me and Black went back and forth off things we both thought was interesting. As always, tell a friend and tell a friend. Log on and listen. If you miss a show, I'm going to put out the retweet. Black already hit me with the tweet. Follow the Twitter page. That's Real Adult Talk. We spell talk, T-A-W-K. And everybody be safe, man. You already know how we get down every Sunday night, 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. Fuck with us. Mo Ben signing off. Peace, peace, peace.